Thank you, pardon. So this brings us to item number three on the agenda, adoption of the agenda for today's meeting, March 29, 2023. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda? Any discussion regarding the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Abstention? Thank you. The motion to adopt the agenda passes, and we shall now move to item four, to approve the minutes of the meeting from February 22, 2023 meeting. Everyone should have the minute in the agenda packet that Pat emailed out. And specifically, you will find the minute on page 4 through page 8. So I'm going to allow a couple of 30 minutes to a minute or so for those who might want to refresh their memory. Okay, may I have a motion and a second to approve the minute? Wait, second. Any discussion, addition, deletion to the minute? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Abstention? The minute are approved. Thank you, everyone. Agenda item 5 is public comment. Pat, do we have any timely request for public comment?
No public comment today.
Thank you. So this brings us to agenda item 6, Faculty Senate President Announcement. We do have a semi-full agenda, including a welcome introduction of George Middlemiss, Vice President of Administration and Finance and Chief Financial Officer. George joined NIU at the start of the current spring semester, and I believe many in this body may have already met with him in different capacities. But today we are pleased to provide George the floor to share any thought or impression he may wish as a way of introduction to Faculty Senate. After we hear from our CFO, we will hear from two colleagues, Rina Cachon, NIU Chief Engagement Officer and Vice President, Outreach, Engagement and Regional Development, and Alicia Shetman, Associate Professor and Director, Center for Nonprofit and NGO Studies. Rina and Alicia will give an overview presentation on Centering Engagement Driving Impact Task Force. Other announcement I would like to kind of share pertains to two ongoing searches. The Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnership and Vice President for DEI, Diversity, Equity and Inclusion, and Chief Diversity Officer positions. For the first, the Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnership position, a campus-wide email releasing the schedule for a series of public forums for four finalists for this position was sent out this past Monday. Interview for the first candidate is scheduled this Friday, March 31st. Faculty and campus community are strongly urged to participate fully in all the public forums, either in person or Zoom. The remaining interviews for this position are scheduled April 3rd, 7th, and April 10th. For the Vice President, DEI and Chief Diversity Officer position, tentative date for public forum have, you know, to hear from and meet with the finalists have also been released on President website. So moving on to other announcement, those of you who may have checked your email this afternoon may have seen an email from Provost Ingram announcing that our wonderful colleague, Executive Vice Provost for Faculty Affairs, Chad McAvoy, has been appointed as a Dean of the College of Applied Science and Technology at Illinois State University. As someone I work very closely with shared governance to advance faculty affairs, while I wholeheartedly congratulate Chad and wish him success in this new and upcoming position, I also want to underscore that ISU's gain is NIU lost. But most importantly, we wanted to really thank you for all that you did and have done in upholding shared governance and promoting faculty well-being and affairs at NIU. So please join me in thanking Harold. And finally, I want to take this opportunity to announce that I will be rotating off myself at the end of this semester and therefore will not be continuing in this role as a faculty senate representative from my department. I'm Africanist and have been the sole reason for a number of international graduate students to apply and come to NIU. So while I really enjoy and it has been privilege and honor, I mean, to serve, at the same time too, I mean, those responsibilities are real and what we do is collective work. So one way or the other, the work is going to continue. I have been really honored to be in this position. So thank you for giving me that position. And so I just wanted to let you know information about nomination for 2023-2024 Faculty Senate President will be is on the agenda today and will be discussed later. So with that, I will move on to agenda item 7. I'm not sure if Provost Ingram made it because I know she already informed me that she might not be here due to being in a meeting at such committee, and therefore she might not be able to. So if she's not here, I think we'll just move on now to our next agenda item. That will be item 8, item for faculty senate consideration. We have two items, as I indicated earlier on. We are here to welcome today with us George Middlemiss, and I am very pleased to invite George to say anything as a way of introduction that you'd like to share. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Ishmael. So I think most of you do know I'm George Middlemiss. I got a little note from my assistant telling me I had 5 minutes, keep it quick. A little brief bio thing. So I do have my PhD, but I prefer to go by George and not doctor because I just wrote a big paper. I'm not all that smart. And so George really works when I meet people on campus. The other thing is I've been doing the money thing for a long, long time, for most of my career in higher ed. Also grew up in higher ed because my parents are both professors. My father was a professor in management and his specialty was org behavior, and my mother was a professor in accounting. The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. So I've been an IRED all of my life and most of my career. So with that, I think that's, you know, a lot of the introduction that, you probably needed from me. I would open the floor to any questions that you might have about me, my style, my vision, issues you want to share with me, anything. Because I think that it's a lot better to get feedback, questions, comments from groups that you meet with rather than having a talking head up here. Because I'm an accountant by training, I'm a pretty boring talking head. So with that, I would turn it over to you to answer any questions. Or we can pretend like it's breakfast with our teenagers. Yeah. So I'm really excited to be here. I didn't think that I would have ever left the university I just came from. I'd been there for almost 27 years. I measured that by how old my son is, because I started 2 weeks before he was born. And he turns 27 in June. The mission of that university was really important to me. It's an access institution, much like NIU. The students that we served would not have had a place to get a degree in higher education. We were a Hispanic serving institution. We were the first state institution to offer a discounted tuition rate for undocumented students that had graduated from a Colorado high school. You know, these things are really, really important to me because I firmly believe that a degree in higher education allows you to advance yourself and your communities in ways that not having a degree can't. It's a tool to help level the playing field for a lot of our communities, especially our populations of that are underserved and marginalized. And so Metro's mission spoke so much to me that they had me introduce the university to all new employees. Why you would pick an accountant to introduce all new employees, but they did for me because of the passion that I had for that. Coming to NIU, I thought I was getting a trip to Chicago so I could see my daughter, and didn't actually expect to be in a position where I would say yes, but the mission really spoke to me, and then the people were so welcoming and inclusive that I found myself talking with my former president after I came back, because I had let her know I was coming here, and having a really great conversation about the stuff we had accomplished at Metro and what I hoped to come and accomplish at NIU. So I'm honored and privileged to be here.
Hi, George. Thanks for being here. I'm Todd Buck from the School of Art and Design. And I was just curious, what do you think is the most immediate challenge that you're going to face in this new role?
Yeah.
At NIU?
So that's a great question. I wish there were one thing, right? You know, I think there's a lot that requires unbaking, and not just at NIU, but in higher education in general. I feel a sense of urgency to really get a handle on the finances, because that allows us to plan and be strategic in how we invest our money. And so that's really, really important to me. I think that solving some of that is probably my most pressing need, but I know that that's a giant lift, right? Coming from Colorado, I make it sound like I did this a lot, but I only did it once. But you climb mountains, you climb 14ers, and when you climb a 14er, you don't look at the peak when you're going up. You get to about 12, 13,000 feet, it is hard. Every step is brutal. To get there, you look at the rock in front of you, and you try and get to that rock that's 10 feet in front of you, and then you pick another rock that's 10 feet ahead, and you get to that rock. And I think that's what we're going to have to do in terms of sorting out all of the stuff that we have here, is to start to pick out rocks to accomplish some things, figuring out how we solve some of the money challenges that we have. And you're not going to do that by looking at the big hairy number that you think is scary. You're going to do it by picking out the few things that you can manage right now and continue to move down that path. I don't know if that exactly answered your question, but that's kind of my sense, is to really figure out the finances and to begin to sort through all this. There's so much that goes on at an institution of higher education today with the disinvestment of states. Thank goodness for Illinois investing more in higher education the last couple of years. But then also the pressure that we have to keep tuition low. Costs don't go down, costs go up. So there's all sorts of things that you got to kind of figure out as you move forward.
Hello and welcome. My name is Linda Saborio from World Languages and Cultures. My students call me Profe. As you well have probably heard, NIU shares or values our shared governance system, What role do you see yourself playing in our shared governance system?
So that's a really great question. So I can just share with you what I have experienced in the past. As I build budgets, as I build finances, I try and include as much of the campus community as I can. At Metro, we didn't have a lot of councils. We had three. We had the classified council, the staff council, and then the faculty senate. We involved them in our conversations. We involved the students in our conversations on how we developed tuition strategies, how we developed priorities for where we wanted to spend our money. I really value that because it's hard for somebody like me to make those decisions. I can certainly have informed opinions, but they're usually going to be wrong because I'm not my boots aren't on the ground. I'm not dealing with people on a day-to-day basis. I'm not dealing with students and their challenges. And so I really value that. And I use shared governance as a little different than what I was used to, but not a whole lot different, right? Because you're just trying to get as much community engagement in making decisions so that you have a shared understanding of why you have come to that decision. You may not have shared agreement, and many times I didn't have shared agreement, but there was a shared understanding and a commitment to accomplishing whatever we had promised to accomplish. Kind of a politician's answer. I don't know if it was exactly perfect, but that's kind of how I view it.
George, welcome to NIU. I'm Evgeny Nestor from chemistry. So I have a probably more specific question. Sure. as a scientist. With your fresh eyes now, how do you see the budget situation at this university, considering all this inflation raises and related things? Where are we standing now, and what kind of your thought about how the future will work?
Sure.
Budget wise.
All right. So there's two questions baked into that, right? So one is, what's kind of the current state of our budget? And budget and finances are commingled terms, but our financial position is really not necessarily the budget. And I think our financial position is tough. Like most regional universities and universities that are access, we have way more needs than we have money to pay for those needs. In some cases, we're paying for more than we should. I think that that shouldn't be surprising to anybody. When you think about the dynamics of revenues, right? So enrollments have been declining for 10 years, not just at NIU, at almost every regional university and almost every access institution. So when enrollments decline, that's a mandatory cost. That actually costs you money, right? Because revenues are being left behind. I think that there's pressure because of our mission to hold tuition down. And so you're not getting additional revenues by increasing tuition because there's a lot of pressure to stop that. I think that thankfully the state has begun to invest, but they have so many years of disinvestment in higher education that those revenues are unfortunately held down a little bit. And then when you couple that with running a university, it's not a lot different than flying a plane. If I fly a plane and I have it full of passengers, I'm making some money and I can do a lot of things. If I'm flying a plane in the middle of or the beginning of a pandemic when there's 10 people on the plane, I still got to pay for gas. I still got to pay for the pilots and the stewards that are on that plane. Maybe I don't have to have all the stewards, but I still have to have all the pilots. I still have to have the gas, maybe not quite as much because the plane's not quite as full, but the overall cost of the plane, basically the same. And in some cases, costs are going up. And so I think that the current picture for higher education and for NIU is that our revenues don't equal our expenses, and nobody should be surprised by that. I think our future is bright. The state has begun to invest more in higher education. We're working to come up with a multi-year plan and how we strategize, how we spend our money so we become more strategic rather than reacting to this year's calamity, whatever that happens to be. And so I think that's a very bright future. I think that we've seen strong freshman classes the last several years. So if we can begin to figure out how we retain those students a little bit better, how we can invest in some things to hope keep students here, that actually increases your revenues, right? I have a lot of optimism, not Pollyanna optimism. I'm an accountant. I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll see things start to turn around and get into a better place.
Any question, we'll take one more. not, please join me in thanking wonderful introduction.
So it's my deep honor to be here. I feel a great sense of privilege and a tremendous amount of respect for this institution and for the people who work here. I'm going to do my best not to drop the ball.
Thank you again, George. And we shall now move to agenda item 8B. Centering Engagement Driving Impact Task Force presentation to be delivered by Rena Kachone and Alicia Gutman.
Okay, thank you. Halfway there.
It's not working. There you go.
Oh, now we went to the end. Okay, we're off to a great start here. Hi, everyone. I'm Rena Kachonis, Vice President for Outreach, Engagement, and Regional Development. Ismail, thank you so much for the invitation to be here. I'm going to ask my colleague, Alicia, to introduce herself. And I think all of you probably know Alicia more than me. I've been at the university for almost 23 years, and I've been in a variety of different roles. I had the great honor and privilege of moving into the leadership role for the Division of Outreach, Engagement, and Regional Development about 2.5 years ago when Ann Kaplan, well-loved Ann Kaplan, who many of you I'm sure know, decided to retire after many years of service to the university. Ann spent many years building this division, and her departure and the pandemic really, I thought, moving into this leadership role called for a reset, a review of what it is that we're doing here at NIU for outreach and engagement. We have a group of 300 people within the division, all doing all kinds of terrific work, outreach in a variety of different areas, but I wanted to look at it in the university context. What kinds of leadership, partnership, support are we providing, can we provide to faculty and staff, students, and community members? So in talking with President Freeman, we decided that we would launch a task force, which I named Centering Engagement and Driving Impact. That's not centralizing engagement, it's centering engagement at the university. Because more and more, I think that you see in the institutional goals that President Freeman has drafted and that we're all following, that you see outreach and engagement more and more visible as an important element of the university, right up there with research and artistry and teaching and learning. So, before we started the task force, we did a little bit of a review of, you know, what exactly does the engagement context look like here at the university? There's significant activity. We know that there are all kinds of great things happening with engaged teaching, learning, engaged research, lots of great community engagement going on. If you didn't know, I want to let you know and to remind those of you who do that we are a Carnegie Engaged Institution, which is quite a laborious lift in terms of, you know, gaining that classification. We first achieved that in 2010. We were redesignated in 2020. And now those designation periods are getting shorter. We'll have to go up again in 2026, which means that basically yesterday we really needed to get started on that whole classification process. So we will do that. And I think we're going to be in much better shape than ever with the results of our task force. Since 2011, we have held up exemplary community engagement work with our Presidential Engagement and Partnerships Professorship, and we've just selected two people who will be announced to the campus soon. And so that is kind of a look at how we really are classifying ourselves and how others can see us as an engaged institution. There are only 360 Carnegie Engaged institutions in the country. We have a University Outreach Advisory Committee. I'm really having trouble with this thing here. Yeah. There we go. Thank you. I don't know. I guess it's all in the wrist. University Outreach Advisory Committee that meets, and if you go back one. Okay, one more, please. Go forward. Okay. There we go. The University Outreach Advisory Committee meets six times a semester, and we talk about what's happening on campus and hear about outreach and advisory, outreach and engagement activities that are happening in the college. If you go on, please. And otherwise, as we were launching the task force, we were really looking to find the perspective of faculty members and deans. So members of the outreach leadership team went out and interviewed a number of faculty members, maybe some of you here in this room. And we talked about what is it that you are doing? What is it that you would like to do? What kinds of support could you possibly need? And what we learned in those conversations was that there's strong interest in community engagement. There's lots of activity. But there isn't a high level of awareness about what kinds of supports are available for community engagement. What resources are there? There's also a concern about limited time available for community engagement. There was some concern expressed about the value that the university places on outreach and engagement, especially in terms of faculty rewards and recognition. And also, there was a feeling that there was some disconnectedness. So there were a number of great things going on. They weren't in alignment. And that was certainly something that, we felt was important too, and something that from a division we have observed. The other thing that was great as we were thinking about all of this was I had a lunch with Dean Brinkman from the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences and told him about these plans as they were developing. And he said, oh, that's great. We're thinking about community engagement in my college. And we have just had a task force take a look at this. And so I'm happy to share with you the initial draft of our report, written by, I think, primarily Alicia Shadiman. And so we had that at I consider that really kind of an accelerator for us with our largest college already looking at this and, caring about community engagement. So next slide, please. Oh, is that right? Okay, we'll just keep going. So I'm glad to know it wasn't just me. So let me tell you a little bit about the charge for the task force that President Freeman provided to us. And that was, we would like to have an institutional definition for community engagement. What does it mean when we're talking about this? And some guidelines to help faculty, staff, students who would like to do community engagement work, who'd like to elevate the engagement in their teaching, learning, research, service work. What kinds of, what ways do we define community engagement? What do we mean? And I'll tell you, as the university's chief engagement officer, I take kind of a large tent approach. I think there are people doing all kinds of different work. I would like to put everything that people think is engagement under that tent and work with people where they are. But we do know from our conversations that faculty felt like there wasn't a lot of support that was available. So we'd like to provide more support. And that's what we're talking about with the task force. The charge also asks that we define an engagement agenda and an action agenda for university leadership to address key areas for engagement. And what we did was use the Carnegie engagement criteria: engagement infrastructure, outcomes assessment, partnership guidance, engaged scholarship, faculty recognition and rewards, and engagement and equity. These are the things that Carnegie is looking at when they're deciding whether we are an engaged institution. There are lots of different ways that we can talk about community engagement. Looking at those six criteria gave us a way to really guide our conversations as the task force started its work. So we have representation from across the campus on our task force, visual and performing arts, liberal arts and sciences, outreach and engagement, health and human sciences, law, education, honors, student affairs, nonprofit and NGO center, business and engineering are all represented by faculty members and staff. So I'm going to ask Alicia now to talk a little bit about our task force deliberations and the outcomes so far.
I have to take my glasses off.
Yeah.
So we started this work in the fall. We're meeting about once a month with this group. And what we've come up with so far is we've been recognizing that there is a significant need across campus to grow commitment. We want to start with aligning different streams of research, engage teaching and learning, as Rena said. And we're trying to explore the most effective way to do that. One of the ideas was around designated courses around community-based learning or community-engaged courses, that kind of thing, similar to what we do with writing-intensive courses, general education courses. Those designations go through curricular process, trying to engage the faculty that way. Exploring different platforms for reporting, tracking, analyzing outcomes and engagement across campus. That's happening on sometimes at a college level, sometimes even at a departmental level, but not necessarily kind of on that universal level. We have also sought a lot of feedback and developed recommendations. So that's going forward. We'll have a report to the president, and we'll deliver that at the end of the semester to help us to help her understand kind of what we've done so far. We also have been collecting an archive of relevant literature, templates, and other resources that we hope to make available to the campus community, whether that's an online portal or some way that faculty can go in and actually find all the resources that we've been able to gather. We're seeking input to inform the development of professional development opportunities for faculty and staff. Faculty who want to do this work, how do you go about finding partners, which I often hear from junior faculty, from community members, how do we engage with the NIU community, what's the door that we go through, et cetera. And then trying to figure out potential models and funding sources for this work. Community engagement work often takes extra time or resources, either getting students into the field or getting community members into the university. So in terms of next steps, we're continuing to align those plans and activities internally, again, seeking input on faculty. And if you know someone who's sitting on the task force, you can reach out to them or reach out to us individually if there's something that you want to contribute to that work. We're also looking at benchmarking our activities to other similar universities on these kind of key issues, and then working on the final draft for the task force recommendations. In terms of what does success look like for the task force, across campus, we want to bring and highlight community engagement that's happening, the excellent work that's already going on, and opportunities for more engagement. We want to align, as I said, more collaboration across colleges. Certain colleges are doing this really well, and we want to learn from those practices. And then empower faculty, students, and partners to engage in this work. Improved effectiveness due to new processes, tools, and resources. That might mean investing in certain technology platforms. It might mean additional human resources in certain areas. Longer term, we hope to significantly engage, using the engage word, more faculty and staff and students and our community partners, and align ourselves with those interests across campus. And then we want to draw people in to NIU because of the excellence in engagement. We know from students, that's one of the first things that they talk about is, I got to do this in my class, or this was part of my class, or co-curricular outside of class as well. And we want to build that national model for community engagement and engaged scholarship here at NIU. So whenever we get to the point where our slides are catching up with the words, you can find us, Rena or I, if you want to reach out to the task force, or as I said, your designees that are on the task force, we would love to hear. And we'll come back to Faculty Senate to give you more updates as that work progresses.
And we will ask Pat to send out the PowerPoint because we thought it was important for you to see that list of names of all the people who are on the task force. And we'll ask you to reach out to them as well as to us with any questions, comments. We are putting together a set of recommendations, and they're not only a set of recommendations, you know, here's a white paper, here's recommendations. With the recommendations comes, here are the actions that we are in the process of taking. And as Alicia mentioned, the beauty of having this task force is from the first meeting, we were able to learn about all the terrific things that are happening on campus. You know, across the table from me was someone who has written a definitive text on community-based participatory research. Someone who, in all the years that I'd been here, I had never met. So this is such a large institution. We know the value of just getting in a room with some people and starting to think about how we can, in a more systematic way, align what we're doing so that we can be mutually supportive, we can be more effective and frankly more efficient with the work that we're doing. That's what we're headed toward. And we invite you to work with us, and we want to look for ways to support the terrific work that you're doing. So happy to answer any questions or hear any comments that you might have.
I have two microphones, one here. Questions go to micro.
Don't be shy.
I'm going to interpret this as, wow, that's fantastic. Can't wait to hear more. Okay. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Questions, comment? Well, we apologize that the PowerPoint did not transmit from the computer, displaying on the computer, but not on the screen, or at least up to a certain point and not go beyond that. I don't think this has ever happened, at least in the, you know, couple of 5 months or years that I've been here. So Art will be emailing out the PowerPoint slide to couple to say. Please join me in thanking Alicia and so our next item is agenda item 9. It's a consent agenda for the approval of Department of Operations Management and Information Systems Professor Biagio Pelesi to serve on the Vice President Chief Diversity Officer Search Committee. May I have a motion in a second to approve the consent agenda? David? All in favor, say aye. Oppose, abstentions. Thank you. The motion passes. So we now move to agenda item 10, and I would like to invite Laurie Hartentoff to present this agenda item.
Good afternoon. At this time, I'd like to open the floor for nominations for the president or for the position of 2023-24 Faculty Senate President. The list is of the Senate members who are eligible is in your agenda packet and also on the screen, maybe. If you'd like to nominate someone, please go to the microphone to do so.
Hi, I'm Dan McConkey from the College of Law. I nominate Ben Creed of the Department of the College of Education.
Is there a second for that nomination, for that motion?
Tiffany. Thank you.
Are there any other nominations? Any nominations besides that? Hearing no more nominations, I now close the nominations. Yes, letters of acceptance, including information on your qualifications and desire to serve are due by February 14th and can be emailed to Pat Erickson. And then we will get them as faculty Senate members via email by the 19th of April. And also in the April 26th agenda packet. Yes?
Thank you, Laurie. We move to agenda item 11, We have new business, and I'm very pleased to invite Jason Rhode, Associate Vice Provost for Teaching, Learning, and Digital Education to present proposed amendment to Faculty Senate Bylaws, Article 4.8, University Assessment Panel. Information on this proposed amendment can be found on page 10 through 12, and this is here for first reading.
Well, thank you so much, and good afternoon, everyone. It's my pleasure to serve this year as the provost's designee as the chair of the University Assessment Panel, and so I'm here to speak to this proposed update to the bylaws specifically related to the University Assessment Panel, or the UAP, as we often refer to it. And there's really just kind of three key areas that kind of underpin these changes. Number one is we just need to make some updates to the membership in terms of titles that reflect the change in organizational structure of the university over the years. The current designated chair within the bylaws is a position that we no longer have, and so there's some language here just to align the membership in terms of the chair to the titles that we currently have within the institutional org chart. And we're excited to be welcoming, hopefully soon, a new assistant vice provost for assessment and accreditation, and that person will be the provost designee to the UAP. Secondly, there are changes here to really align the membership and to make it more inclusive of all faculty representation. Really aligns with the work that Faculty Senate has engaged in to clarify titles of our various faculty classifications. And so this language really aligns with that, as well as gives us the ability to ensure that we're able to include student representation on the UAP. So it gives us a little more flexibility in how we solicit and add student members to the UAP. And then the final update is really in alignment with our institutional vision, mission, and values when it comes to pursuit of equitable student outcomes, and that we actually are adding that into the bylaws, that being one of the charges of the UAP moving forward. So with that, I'm happy to answer any other questions that there might be.
Evgeny Nesterov of chemistry. I'm curious, what was the reason to drop the definition, I mean, that statement of tenured and tenure track faculty and replace them with full-time faculty member? What that particular definition means, full-time faculty members?
So that's a great question, and really aligns to including all of our classifications of faculty, really to give the colleges, because the membership of the UAP really comes from nominations from the colleges, and to include all full-time faculty gives colleges the opportunity to include not only tenure track faculty, but also instructional faculty. In some of our colleges, instructional faculty do a lot of the assessment work, and this helps to ensure that college can choose to have a member of the instructional faculty represent the college on the UAP. So it's really to make this a more inclusive opportunity to serve on the UAP. So I hope that answers the question there.
I'm just curious. I think instructional faculty are not really a full-time position from the standpoint that they are paid like per semester basis, or not really. How long their contract is? Is it like a full contract with no end date, or they hire, at least in chemistry, I think we hire instructors per semester and not full time.
So across our institution, and I know our Vice Provost for Faculty Affairs is here if he wants to chime in, but I will say that our instructional faculty are on a full-time 9-month contract, and so they are considered full-time faculty. Chad's shaking his head, just want to make sure I'm clear there with that. So it is inclusive of really anyone that is a full-time faculty member. So thank you for that. Thank you. Any other questions? Please.
Cynthia Campbell, College of Education. This is not a question, but I just wanted to say that in the College of Education, excuse me, we have, excuse me, we have clinical faculty, and they're not tenure, but they are full-time. So that could be including them, correct?
They would be included as well, yeah. as potential members on behalf of the college. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Well, if not, please join me in
thanking you,
Jason, for introducing you. Thank you. Next, we have agenda item 12, report from councils, board, and standing committees. So item 12A, Faculty Advisory Council to the IBHE, and we have Linda Saborio, who is going to present report.
Yes. Good afternoon. The FAC met for the March meeting at Chicago State University, who, from what I understand, they may be going on strike soon. We had a wonderful introduction by the president and vice provost, who talked about their advising system, their holistic approach to student advising, civic engagement, community involvement with the campus, and much more. We also had a presentation on their Rise Academy community, which seems to be somewhat parallel to our CHANCE program. And I do have the slide presentation, so if you're interested in viewing those slides, just please let me know. We also had a nice presentation on mental health in academia, and I learned to say, not now. So I may have a t-shirt made that says, not now, and perhaps not ever. I'm not sure about that yet. Okay, our FAC chair also shared with us the Student Advisory Council resolution that was presented at the last IBH meeting at Malcolm X College in Chicago. Apparently it was well received by all IBH members, and so he has shared that resolution with us. If you're interested, I can also forward that to you. And then there are two items that Pat has posted to the Faculty Senate FAC webpage. One is on pages 13 to 17 of your agenda, and it's from our early college credit working group, and it's a document, an informative document aimed at excuse me, high school students, parents, counselors, advisors, and teachers. And the purpose of the document, as it states in the initial paragraph, is to foster awareness of the potential benefits and drawbacks associated with taking early college courses. The second document is, you can find on page 18 to 21 of your agenda, and it's a collection of tools and resources for faculty, administrators, and staff to support their ongoing DEI initiatives. This information was presented by Julie. She's on our DEI working group at the last IBHE meeting, and it was very well received. She just said to be careful about clicking on all those links. It's kind of like going down a rabbit hole. So, or if you like the Matrix, the blue pill or the red pill, right? So that concludes my report. Next month, I will be at out at Western Illinois University. I've never been there before. So I may have some more stories to add to my travel adventures around the state of Illinois, right? Such as when I went to Lincoln State and I ended up on a golf cart trail in an NIU vehicle, thank goodness, right? Unfortunately, I was in an NIU vehicle. Pat said I shouldn't say that. Yeah. Okay. Any questions? We have one. Very good. Thank you.
I don't have a question. I have a comment. As a person that works with high school students, I really appreciate the early college information. particularly with the Department of Education, they're encouraging a rigorous curriculum with the programs that I offer. And so that does include all of those things that you mentioned. And so I thought that that was really, I mean, that were mentioned in the article. And so I thought that that was really helpful, particularly in talking to parents about some of the pros as well as the cons for dual enrollment, as well as earning college, earning credits while they're in high school. So I want to say I really appreciated that information.
Thank you. And if you see that there's anything missing, please let me know as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Did I saw you? No. Okay. All right. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Great. Thank you. So agenda item 12B, University Advisory Committee to the Board of Trustees. Members of this committee include Felicia Bohannon, Holly Nicholson, Katie Jekyll, Karen Whitby, Brad Cribe, and myself. The March 23rd, 2023 BOT meeting was canceled due to the expiration of the terms of four members of the trustees. The process of reappointing or replacing trustees did not conclude before that meeting. Because of that, the meeting was rescheduled for Monday, April 3rd, 2023 at 9 a.m. And University Advisory Council, as a result, does not have a report at this time. So I'm going to move on to agenda item 12C, faculty rights and responsibilities committee, and there is no report. The next one after that would be item 12D, social justice committee, and I have David Valentine.
We have no report.
Okay, thank you. After that, we have item 12E. No report. F, Faculty Senate, University Council Rules, Governance and Election Committee. The next one is Student Government Association. We have, is Dallas or the designee of SGA here? No, so we'll move on to item 12G, Operating Staff Council, Holly Nicholson. Okay, no report. Item 12H, Supportive Professional Staff Council, Felicia Bohan.
We have no report, but I would like to announce on behalf of the Presidential Commission on the Status of Race and Ethnicity, which I'm also the chair, that you have been selected as one of our 2023 recipients of the Deacon Davis Awards, and so that announcement will be officially made tomorrow, but I want to congratulate you on behalf of PCOR. Ishmael.
Oh. Thank you. This is,
oh my goodness, thank you. I am deeply honored and humble. I mean, when you say you, I was looking at the whole body. And thank you very much. I appreciate it. We'll move on to the next agenda item, and that will be item 13, informational item. There is just informational at best as it is. And this will bring us then to our last agenda item, which is adjournment. And with that, I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn today's meeting. Yeah, I have a motion. I have a motion and Todd. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.